world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, a lot going on around this country. I don't know what's going on in your neck of the woods. Going to have almost 80 degrees today. Now, like Dale down there in New Orleans and Michelle down there in Florida, you guys, that's probably no big deal to you, but it's a big deal to us around here. So wouldn't you know it, I got to have to do a broadcast today from about 11:30 to 1:30 while the sun's shining outside. Well, hey, we'll make it. We'll get it done. Thanks for joining us here today. Again, I don't want to be repetitive, but I just get so encouraged. I get to come in here and share time with you. But Bible scriptures tell us that in the multitude of many counselors, it's great wisdom. Great wisdom. Sometimes you just don't know who to turn to, you know. Come in here and throw some ideas back and forth across the table and chew them up and spit them out. And always seem to make my morning a little bit easier. I just got to throw this out, kind of a personal thing before we dive in here. You know, at the end of the show yesterday, I dropped a Revelation 21 where it talks about the church being that the New Jerusalem being the bride of Christ coming, descending. I got a couple emails about that. People trying to take me to task on. I said, look, I don't care. Just show me where Paul said that the church is, just show me where it says it. We're the bride. That's all I said. And I'm just going to leave it right there. Now, don't go to the simile. Say that Christ loved the church, a husband loved your wives as, it's a simile, in comparison to the way Christ loved the church. Don't throw that one at me. But find another one that says that. In fact, you have to ask yourself, the mother church, the idea of she, the church being a she, where did that come from? You don't have to give me that answer right now, but if you want to prove me wrong, which would be fine with me, because I just like to know the truth about it. Somebody said, well, Coach, it's very, very simple. It's not simple, but it's very simple. That somehow the body morphs into the bride. When Jesus returns, the body becomes the bride. I said, well, that's cool. Where do you get that? Well, I can't really get it, but that's really kind of the principle. These are the kind of things that I think have hindered us in Christianity, just in my honest opinion. Somebody came up with an idea and started an idea, and the next thing you know, we're running full speed down that road. For instance, John 10. Put it up there real quick, Spencer. Put it up there. John 10 is another one of my pet peeves, because I hear people say it all the time. They talk about the thief. The devil comes to kill and destroy, steal and to destroy. Yep, that devil, he comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. And he does. I mean, that is his method. Certainly his methodology is to kill and to steal and to destroy. But that's not what the Bible says. that's not what John 10 says, right? And if you read down through John 10, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So right there we know. If you can read properly and you can analyze what you're reading, you can diagram sentences, you know that the thief is somebody who climbed in some other way. He didn't come in by the door. Okay, boom. What door are we talking about? The sheepfold, where all the sheep are. So the guy who comes in to be your pastor, and the Lord didn't call him, but he didn't come in under the unction of the Holy Spirit, but rather, my earplug came out. But he came under the unction of his mom, or somebody said, you ought to be a pastor. And so he became a pastor for whatever reason. John's very clear. He said, better be careful. That guy's a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, what would be the door? Oh, that'd be coming in the right way, coming in the front door with proper calling and all that stuff, right? So when the right guy shows up, it says, verse 3, the porter opens the door. The guy guarding the door opens it. Says, come on in. Sheep hear his voice. And call him by name. He leads him in, leads him out. So this porter says, the Holy Spirit says, come on in. You are the pastor. Opens the door. Sheep recognizes his voice. Back and forth. It's all good. Now we got a guy climbed in a window, and a guy came in the front door. I don't have to go any farther than right there, right? One climbed in the window, and one climbed in the front door. One came and knocked on the door, came right in the front door, showed his ID, made it in. His new vaccine, his new passport. He showed him vaccine passport. He let him in. The other guy came, snuck in the back window, all right? And says when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. That's the fact. The real pastor then, the real shepherd, takes his sheep out. Hey, folks, you ever seen sheep? Pastor, the shepherd, actually opens the gate and walks them out. They follow him out into the field. We've all seen the picture of Jesus, the good shepherd, standing there holding all the sheep behind him, right? So it says he puts forth his own sheep. He goes before them. Sheep follow him. Why? They know his voice. Who's that? That's the guy who came in the front door, the porter. And the stranger, they're not going to follow, but they're going to flee from him, for they don't know the voice of strangers. So Jesus told them this. They didn't understand it. They didn't understand. So he scratched his head and says, well, let me see if I can come another way. Jesus said, okay, hey, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the one. I'm the one who calls pastors. I'm the one. All right? So everybody came before me, all those lying thieves and robbers, those Pharisees and those Sadducees and all those guys. He said, look, he names them again. He says, they were thieves and robbers. Hey, folks, devil ain't been mentioned yet. Devil hadn't been mentioned yet. All that came before me are thieves and robbers. But coach, the devil cometh but to kill and to steal and to destroy. That's good, except it's not what it says. he does, but that's not what it says. All right? So I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he makes the same point again. He says, that's the only way you get to get into that pulpit. The only way you become a pastor is I call you and you go through me. If you crawled in because your grandma said you ought to be, or your daddy was one and he made you pastor, if you just took over the church business, better be careful. If you're going to a church where a guy's building a business, you better be careful, because chances are he's a thief and a robber. Stay with me. I'm the door, verse 9. I don't know how I got on this, but I'm going to finish writing it. But by me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then look what he does. He doubles back. He says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, folks, if you are any good at reading, we will see that three times now, Jesus has told us who the thief was. Three different times he's already told us who it was. The guy who sneaks into the pulpit some other way. That guy's a thief. Three different times. In fact, he told them that. They didn't get it. He told them again, and they still didn't get it. Then he says, okay, listen, boys. The thief who was identified in verse 1, go back to verse 1, Spencer. Sorry, I hate to shake your bubble. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not the door, but the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, same as a thief and a robber. Identified in the very first verse of John 10. The thief and the robber. Anybody want to find out who that is? Has anybody seen the mention of the devil yet? Anybody seen the devil mentioned even one time yet? I haven't. No, he says the thief, the guy who comes in some other way, just doing it as a business or as a job, not as a calling. The one who closes down his church because of COVID. You're not saying amen, although that'd been a good place to say it. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Amen. Huh? He said, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Who said that? Jesus said, I'm the true shepherd. You guys been following. You guys following some guy snuck in some other way. Calls himself a pastor and building a big old church, and now he won't speak the truth anymore, because if he speaks the truth, he's going to lose people, and won't be very good for business. So Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth up his life for his sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, the same guy he identified in verse 1. Does anybody think I'm crazy? Do you guys think I'm twisting words? I'm just reading down through it. Because everywhere I go, you know, coach, that thief, he's that devil, he's come to kill and to steal and to destroy. Well, that's right, but that isn't what it says. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep or not, sees the wolf coming. Ah, there be the devil. There comes the devil. So the hireling sees the devil coming. And he leaves the sheep and he flees. And the devil catches them and scatters the sheep because they won't open their church during COVID. Somebody say amen. The hireling, the same guy identified in verse 1, flees.
Amen, coach.
Because he is a hireling and he doesn't really care for the sheep. Oh, my goodness. Oh my, I'm going to stop there. How many times you ever heard that preached, huh? Well, coach, it's that devil comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. By the way, yes, he does. But this is not talking about the devil. I got that off my chest. Thanks, Gary. Gary Dunlap gave me an amen. Somebody else give me an amen. No wonder we're in the mess we're in. Look at the guys standing. Look at the guys who are leading America. The Christian men leading America. And it's this. Does anybody think I'm making it up?
Huh? Been seeing amen, it. Coach.
Life, coach.
Amen.
Say that again, Silver.
I've been seeing this most of my life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right?
ORU graduates.
Oh, man. Now, listen, folks. Some of them may start out with the right. Some of them may start out with the right heart. They really might. But I'm going to tell you that. Oh, Lord, do I have to say that? Okay, I will. Some of them became pastors because they saw it's a good way to start a small business. Yeah, amen. Somebody say amen. They saw
amen.
So a good way to start a small business.
Amen.
They saw others doing it, starting a small business, and so they started one. And then once they get that small business started, then they have to worry about keeping customers. You can't be like Coke and run off your customers. BLM, run off your customers. You can't do that. So when things start to get bad in the church, or the culture starts to get bad, and mom and dad are coming and they're praying, and the real shepherd, the one who really, really cares, really says, well, listen, it's happening because you're in sin. You're in sin. It's not Joe Biden. It's not the Democratic Party. It's you're in sin. You're the ones in sin. Well, you know what happens? They go down the street to Brother Scratch My Ears. And so pastors have figured out that Brother Scratch My Ears is going to make them feel better and give them a message that feeds them. And the next thing you know, Brother Scratch My Ears has got a bigger church. It's thriving. It's respected in the community and closes down because everybody knows that he loves and cares. You don't say amen. I'm just nailing it, right? Just nailing it. So that's why we're in the mess we're in, see? Really why we're in the mess we're in. Being a pastor is do you guys know this? Do you know that the good shepherd died for the sheep? Have you ever thought about that? The good shepherd, the greatest good shepherd died for the sheep. Huh? What do we see right here? What's that hiring do? Why, he sees the government coming and he takes off, doesn't he? Closes down his church. Does virtual. Stays home, does virtual. Why? Because he's worried about the approval of men, approval of the government. Doesn't want people saying bad things about him because people may go shop someplace else when everything opens back up. Oh, man. I'm going to get off of this, but there's a lot of things that they've taught us in the Bible that simply are not true. They're just hackneyed sayings that we repeat over and over and over. Now, here's another one. We could do a whole show on that one. Does somebody know where the Bible says that the Lord will never give you more than you can handle? Larry, do you know, is that anywhere, Larry, that you know of? Does it really ever say that?
Yeah, and what is it? 1 Corinthians 10, 13, somewhere in there?
It does say that?
It says he will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able.
Okay, that's a temptation, though. That doesn't mean he can't give you something. Yep. Again, maybe the premise is there. I don't have any problem with the premise, but I have problems when we make it a law and a rule by which we live our lives. And it's, are you with me? Oh, my goodness. I'm glad I didn't go to theology school. Listen, friends, listen. David Arthur's car went dead. It went dead. And I know that yesterday I said, listen, I'm gonna pay the expenses for David. Well, two things that are going on. Number one, it can't be fixed quickly. The transmission is gone. And it's going to take a while to get it. So we've got to put him into something else. And Jeff Klein, who comes in here all the time, you guys know Jeff. Jeff runs a car lot. And Jeff's sticking his neck out and is helping to get David in a car today so David can get back home and get on with his ministry. And can I tell you this? Listen, folks, he doesn't have, David Arthur does not have a home church in the way that most people have. So he can't go to the elder board and say, hey, I need a new car, and get the elder board to vote and buy him a new car. And much of what goes on in here, we are that body. We are it. Now, some of you sent, I made it mention of it yesterday. Some of you sent money yesterday, and I'm going to give it, we need a little bit over $8,000 to put him in a new car, not a new one, but Jeff's taking the hit initially on this one. And Jeff's going to take David's old car and he's going to put a new transmission in it. And then Jeff thinks that after it gets all fixed up and everything, it'll probably be worth maybe $4,000. Jeff can probably sell it on his lot for $4,000. And then Jeff will redistribute that money back to David, whatever. But he needs help right now, okay? We've committed $2,000 here. David told me this morning he's got $1,800 otherwhere. Listen, I don't even know how to say this, make it sound good. You say, you know, Coach, if I had $1 million, I'd buy David a new car. No, you wouldn't, because you won't give him $10 right now. Huh? Come on, quit lying to yourself. You won't give him $10 right now. So I'm asking some of you right now, if you would today, make an offering at CoachDaveLive.com, and I'm going to put it towards David's car. Okay, I've already committed $2,000. We've already done it. So anything that you give today will be above and beyond that. Okay, David's doing unique work, as you guys know. Nobody's doing what he's doing. He needs our support. So I'll just say, even if, hey, $10, whatever you can give. Okay, I'm not going to say, David, are you in here today, man? Real quickly, David.
I am.
And by the way, see, in most churches, they'd be taking an offering for David, right? And we would wonder if all that money went to David or not, because the thief cometh to kill and to steal and to destroy, right?
Amen.
Come on, folks. Come on. They can't help David Arthur. Why can't they help David Arthur? Well, they got that smoke machine. They just bought that smoke machine. They can't help him get in the car. What happened, Dave? Go ahead.
You know what, Coach? I've had and dealt with tranny issues all my life, but never like this. I'm experiencing tranny issues I've never had to deal with in my entire life. So it's all something new for me. And, you know, I'm thankful that it happened here in Ohio, because I have a network here. I have family, brethren that are ready, willing, and able to help. And, you know, listen, I haven't been a very good example of a team player the last year and a half, 2 years. But what can I say? You know, the past is the past. I'm here now. And while Coach and I may not agree on everything, I can say this. The man does not hold a grudge. He doesn't ostracize those that he disagrees with. And this is the second time that Coach has come to my rescue due to a bad vehicle. So if anybody wants to give to a ministry that really does give and help others, Pastor Salt would be that ministry.
So we're going to try to help David today. Okay, folks. I want to tip my cap to Jeff Klein, because Jeff's putting David in a car. Jeff's taking the risk. I just said, I'll try to raise some money. Jeff Klein's the guy that deserves the hat tip, because he's putting David in the car, and David, he's going to do anyway. I don't want to talk anymore about that. If you should be felt, hey, don't creep in some other way. Come in the front door. Amen. Go $10 David's way. Help him out. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah. I want to piggyback on your comment about the sheep and the shepherd and all that and everything. There's another really, really bad, takeoff on what the word says along those lines. Some people think that when Jesus says, you know, if you have 100 sheep and one gets lost, you leave the 99 and you go out and you find the one that's lost. And they think that that's talking about going out in the world and just grabbing people out of the world. But guess what? Jesus says those were your sheep and one of them went astray. Mm-hmm. One of them got away. And then you go out and you try to bring that one back. There's nothing there that says that's telling people to go out in the world and try to play Holy Spirit on their own. You can't do it.
Amen. Hey, Larry, what do you think it would be worth if David Arthur brought peace and comfort to somebody struggling with homosexuality and drew them out of that? What would that be worth, folks? Huh? So that's why you got to think about where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, or where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. You can put it either way.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of people seeking the Lord that are also being led down that homosexual and perverted trail and stuff like I taught all my grandchildren, I taught them how to spell the word transgender. They spell it CONFUSED.
Yeah, that's good, Larry. Confused. This little sweet thing looking over my shoulder right here, Reese, she and her mom, my grandma were having a discussion about that yesterday. How do you even explain something like that to a 10-year-old, right? Yet they're in schools trying to do that, aren't they? Trying to bring that CONFUSION into their lives, Larry. That's how the enemy operates, man. And so I just, I endorse David Arthur. I endorse what he's got doing. He's got some good things going on. And by the way, you send it to us, he'll get it. And for those of you who care, you can get a tax write-off for doing it. So thought I'd throw that out there, okay? Tomorrow, Linda Harvey is going to join us. Click on that Mission America. Many of you don't even know who Linda Harvey is, maybe. Probably don't, because she's a local here. She's a local warrior. And what do you think Linda Harvey met? What do you think Mission America? Wow. Linda Harvey is on the cutting edge of homosexuality, indoctrination in our schools, everything that's going on and has been going on for quite a while. And I read one of her commentaries the other day that she'd written. I thought, daggone, Linda, why haven't I had you on the show? So Linda Harvey is going to join us tomorrow. Her website there is Mission America. And I've often told Linda this, Linda, you're doing a man's job. Hey, you hear what I said? She's doing a man's job. And Linda's one of the really, really good gals. And so she's going to be joining us. And Thursday, Dizdar is going to finally get up early in the morning and come and join us. Russ Dizdar will be with us on Thursday morning. So we've got an action-packed week ahead of us. Friday morning, I will not be here. I got to get on an airplane, fly to Texas. I've opened up the microphone to Mark Trump. And Mark will have you all tied in knots by the end of it. It'll truly be a flea flicker Friday with Mark coming in here and being part of it. So help us carry that whole thing together. Also, man, I got all kinds of stuff here real quick. Let me get it all stuff out there. Kevin Van Story, throw up his email there if you can. Spence, I put that up there as well. Kevin Van Story, Kevin, are you out there? Kevin's launching his MACO, Missouri, Arkansas, Kansas, Oklahoma, Salt and Light Brigade. May 1st, he's having a get-together. For more information, get a hold of Kevin. We don't have that. See, Reese, we don't have it up on the website yet. Ohio Brett's doing some stuff. We don't have that all up on the website yet. We got a lot going on, and I'm so excited because so many of you are getting in there. Reggie, I got an email from Reggie. Throw Reggie's up there real quick. May 1st. Reggie's doing a Tiny Hearts Brigade. Are you in here, Reggie? I don't know if Reggie's in here this morning or not. Doesn't matter if she is or if she isn't. Child Rescue. They're after our children. And Reggie's doing the first annual David vs. Goliath March Awareness of Child Trafficking, Saturday, May 1st, 2021, right here in Columbus, Ohio. So we want to support that the best we can. The march begins at 1 a.m. Starting point, Ohio State House in Capitol Square. Child trafficking so bad, they don't even put them on milk cartons anymore, folks. They don't even put them on milk cartons. And we look the other way. One other thing, is there something else up here? Talked about that. Bobby's sister's book, Diary of a Glutton. And no, I haven't had any sugar, except I have to confess this. I had on Sunday what they call a gorge day. I gorged on Sunday, meaning I ate no candy, but I ate some of that stuff I haven't been eating. They say when you do that, it helps you win the mind battle a little bit. So I gorged on Sunday. And after I was done gorging, you know what I thought? Eating's overrated. It's overrated. Why did I sit around and want to eat that crap? It's overrated. Now my belly's blown up. It's overrated. So a Diary of a Glutton, Bobby's sister, right there online. You can get it on eBay. And for those of you who are struggling with weight loss, which is many of us, there you go. Cool. All right. Listen, I've yakked for 25 minutes. Anybody got anything for the good of the group? They want. Larry lost his father. Let's be praying for Larry. Larry, tell us a little bit about what's going on there with you, man.
Yeah, my father is where he wanted to be. The last conversation I had with him, he said that he wanted to go ahead and join my mom, who died about a year and a half ago. But so he's where he wanted to be. And the only thing now is the formality of going through the motions of a funeral and everything just to, I guess, placate the relatives and everything. Because just like my mom's funeral, when I looked inside the casket at the viewing, my heart leapt with joy because that was the emptiest shell of flesh I'd ever seen in my life.
Yeah, she's not there, Larry. She's not there, man.
And I'm looking forward to the same experience with my dad. Original plans we had for a funeral and everything got thrown in the trash can because they wouldn't work for some reason. So I don't know when I'm headed for Texas now. But I'll take care of that.
You only get one daddy. Only get one daddy.
And I still got Gail. I got to get back and forth. I had to leave immediately after the show today to get her to Charleston in time.
Well,
Larry, we're working.
Your life's changed over the last year, hadn't it, brother?
Yes, it has.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Hey, listen, Chad asked us, come on in here, Chad. This weekend is Learn to Kill People Day. No, just kidding. Not just kidding. I shouldn't have. I'm sorry, Right Wing Watch. That'll be up on there. It's Embattled Warrior Training down Chad's this weekend. What do you got to say about Chad? I know he's up. He just texted me. Chad.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah, I'm there. Okay. Sorry. There was some folks that had contacted me because we had initially on the site that we were going to stop the enrollments on April 1st. And so they weren't able to sign up. So we've extended that out again till midnight on Wednesday. We got to shut it down and cut off the numbers at some point. And so if those were interested in it, I've tried to email all the people back and all that. So it's up and running now. Everything's still like it was, so we just want to appreciate it. Also, I just want to ask for those attendees that are coming, I have some chairs, but just bring some other ones just in case, because we will be doing some round robin classes. You might want to sit down out there in the event out there.
How many expecting, Chad?
About 42.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Let's get to 50 people. That's awesome, brother. I look forward to seeing you. Kevin, come on in there, brother, then Rochelle.
Hey, Coach. I just wanted to share something kind of ironic with you. I'm traveling up through Vermont right now, and when you finished up your point about the pastors and the sheep, I turned to my left. I had a car going by me. His license plate said, "The Wolf." I'm like, wow, Lord, wow. What doesn't that say at all? I just wanted to share. It may have been just for me, but I wanted to share it with you.
Okay, Kevin, listen. Hey, folks, I got to make this very, very clear, okay? I believe the devil has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. I believe that. But that's not what John 10 says, okay? That's the point I'm making. He's not referring to the devil. He's referring to hireling pastors who are serving mammon and the world rather than God, okay? Just try to clear that up. Yes.
The devil is a thief. He's just not the thief that is spoken of in that passage.
Thanks, Dave. He is a thief. He sure is a thief, but he's not the thief that they're talking about in that past. Well said. Rochelle, then Jeff.
Hey, good morning, team. So, Larry, you know, sorry for your loss. You bring so much to the show. Thanks for being here all the time. And I just hope you keep the peace that you've always seemed to have with you. Coach, thank you for the opportunity to give to a cause that we know is worthy. This is how the body works, people. Amen. This is what we do. And also, thank you for making us think. Even though I am still settled on the body becoming the bride, you make us think about these things because I had to look it up. I'm like, okay, he says, you'll become like pillars. You'll become the stones in my city. So there is reference to it. But the thing is, you make us think and you want us to question, why has the church become so ineffective? That is your point.
Thanks.
And I hope people don't miss the point in what you're really doing here. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thanks, Rochelle. Because listen, folks, if I told you what I really believed about some things, you probably maybe would turn out, right? I told my grandson, I wish David was here. I said, David, you come from the line of Dobbenmeyers, David. And we are, let me get this right. We are thinkers, not stinkers. We think, right? We think, we analyze, then we believe. And then there are some things that you come that there isn't any evidence for, and then that comes by faith. But I'm not going to believe it just because Larry told me. And I don't want you to believe it just because I told you. Search it out for yourself. Trust but verify, all right? Thanks, Rochelle. Come on in, Jeff and Clay.
Just for the locals, we'll be in the garage tonight, Church in the Garage in Mount Vernon.
What time does that start, Jeff?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock church. And you're going to have David Arthur a car today, Jeff?
What I might do is I'll just tell him I'm not signing that car over to him today unless he sticks around and preaches tonight in the garage.
Yep, all right.
Hey, David Arthur at Church in the Garage tonight in Mount Vernon.
Hey, folks, I want you to know something. There's nobody in this queue who is more giving than Jeff Klein. Nobody in this queue. And I got the call from David. David texted me yesterday. Tranny's gone. I thought he meant him. Transmission. Okay. I got it. And I knew in my heart right away, Jeff Klein's going to take care of it. I didn't know how. And so Jeff just stepped out in faith. Says, here's what we're going to do, Coach. And so thanks, Jeff. Appreciate you doing it. Clay, come on in.
Yeah, Coach. I just wanted to follow up on yesterday with that rabbi where the police came to a church and wanted to throw, disturb the congregation for those that didn't see it. And he cast those police officers out of his church. And I just want to put the word out to everybody that that's what we need to do. If somebody comes into our space, we need to cast them out and be bold like that. And if you're a preacher, you need to be putting yourself in the mindset to be able to do that. And if you're not prepared to do that for your church and your congregation, then maybe you don't need to be in that pulpit.
Hey, Clay, that was, in fact, a real shepherd standing in protection of his sheep. That's what it was. That's what you saw.
And when they come into our space, that's our time to do it. I mean, right. If you go out in public and you want to do that, well, they'll probably arrest you and take you to jail. But if you're in your space and they come to your space, if you're not going to be bold then you're not ever going to be bold. So if they come to your space, you better throw them out just like that fella did.
Amen. Amen. Because, again, folks, that is laying down your life for your friends. That is standing as protection. He wasn't going to let those police officers come in there and arrest one of his flock. He wasn't going to do it. He said, get out of here. I don't know about him otherwise. Don't know anything about him. But that is the picture of a true shepherd in my mind. Right, that's a true shepherd. He blocked. Go ahead, Larry. Then Emma.
Yeah, I just want to comment on the giving aspect of this queue and your listeners. A couple of years ago, when they tried to steal my house from me, we put out the appeal to help out, and it only took 2 days for the $5,000 and everything to save my house, to satisfy a bogus HOA's request or demands. It took 2 days for you guys to come to the rescue, and then plus there was some extra that I sent back to Coach. But that's the kind of giving. I didn't send everybody an individual note thanking them for the money and everything, because number one, I depended on the Lord was the one that told them to give. Yeah. And number two, I did thank them, in the comment on the show, and I mentioned it on the show and stuff. But I wanted to take this opportunity to thank everybody once again for being obedient to the Lord in that situation. And I'm thanking you in advance for being obedient to the Lord in David's situation here.
Thanks. And thanks, Larry. And that hit a tender spot with me. Folks, listen, I don't know how to say this in a better way. If I sent a thank you note to everybody that sent us money, that would be the only thing I would get done. Okay. Listen, you understand this. When you give to us, you give to the need. All right. You're being obedient to the Lord. Of course we thank. You know who's really grateful that you're giving? David Arthur, not me. Right? He's thankful. Yeah, well, I'm thankful. Certainly I'm thankful. But you're providing. That's, folks, this way the body's supposed to operate, man. It's the way it's supposed to work. Emma, come on in, then Tim, then Brett. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Just
Emma.
A little announcement. 1 o'clock on Sunday the 18th in front of Kroger. A honk and wave. Thank you.
Oh, Emma, I'll be out of town. I'd love to be with you. Ohio people, Kroger's, Pataskala, 1 o'clock Sunday. Thanks, Emma. Tim and Naomi.
The 18th.
I'm sorry. I'll be in Boston. Go ahead, Tim. Or Naomi.
So, it's me. So, as far as the pastor in Canada, the Polish pastor in Canada, we did some research, and his church does have a website, and there is an email for anybody who wants to encourage him. I don't have that information up at the moment, but I can put it in the notes tomorrow, because I won't be able to do it today. But anyways, that would be a good thing, I think, to send him an email encouraging him.
We'll see if we can dig that up. Great, good thought, Naomi. Thank you. Brett, come on in.
Amen. Hey, amen. Coach, I just wanted to piggyback what I asked you of. Could I please have a list of everybody gave the Ohio Brett that when I came up on that 21-day blitz, I was overwhelmed by the donations that came in. I want to personally say thank you to the whole team. This is my small church. This is my church. So as I mentioned with you, Coach, and Gary and some others, that I do have some fundraising expertise that we're going to start some trickle for you, because this is my church.
Thanks, Brett. Thanks, Brett. Just appreciate it, man. We try to meet needs. We don't have smoke machines and blacktop and all that stuff and paid choir directors and associate minister. We don't do that stuff. Yeah. Anyway, let's get. Hey, I got a little bit of up to date news here. Throw it up there for me, real quickly. You say what? Well, I'm looking at it. Killer vaccines. I don't want to keep hammering it. Okay. I just want to tell you the truth. And then let you do whatever you want to do with it. Medical kidnap. This is a website I found that there's a 6,000 increase in reported vaccine deaths in the first quarter of 2021. 6,000% in folks, the vaccination is killing people. Folks, the virus isn't. I don't know what do you do? What do we do to those people who are continue to take it? I found this website called Medical Kidnap. You can read down, slide on down there a little bit more, Spencer. There's some good stuff really on here. Shows the cases of people that have died. These are facts. 36 cases where a patient died in the vaccination death, the date they had the vaccination. 1,754 cases where the patient died in the vaccine on the date that they died. Notice that 80% of these recorded deaths are among seniors over the age of 60. I wonder if that'd be Trump voters, huh? I wonder if they'd be killing any Trump voters. Anybody wonder if maybe they might be out there? Huh? Huh? Scrolling down. Medical kidnap. Just came across this morning. Doctors around the world, dire warning, do not get the COVID vaccine. Yeah, but you say, but Coach, these guys aren't the CDC. The government doctors are the ones we trust, really. Italy, two more teachers dead. Huh? CD following experiment, COVID-19 vaccine now equal to 2,500 total deaths. 40-year-old Wisconsin music teacher dead following the vaccination. UK refuses to suspend AstraZeneca, 713 deaths, 4,955. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Listen, don't take the vaccine. Don't take it. All right. Plus, we have no idea what the long-term impact of that vaccine might be. Cool. Rochelle, your hand's up. Did you just not take it down?
No, thanks, Coach. Guys, these are precious people, okay? Don't just in your mind think, well, these older people, they listen to the news. They think they're doing what's right. And a lot of times, if it's not killing them, I've got two clients now who are going to be in a wheelchair for the rest of their lives after getting this shot. I've got another one who's got to be hooked up to a heart monitor after these shots. They do terrible things. So Just keep praying and warning as many people as you can.
Amen, Rochelle. So ask ourselves this, and I don't mean to call names, but I'm going to call names. What's up with Franklin Graham telling people to take this vaccination? Robert Jeffress, T.D. Jakes. I could go on and on and on. What is going on? Are we to believe they don't know? Look, Andy Stanley. Thank you, Jared. Andy Stanley. Hey, folks, if I'm just in here with David Arthur and Tim and Naomi and R.J. Barnett, and if this is my source of information, you mean Franklin Graham doesn't have better information? What's going on, folks? What is going on?
Dave?
Go ahead. Come on in. That's Jack. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, as you know, 2 years ago, we were fighting the law, new law in Maine, which took away the religious exemption for vaccinations. And we were fighting it on religious grounds, and we couldn't get real traction. The church wouldn't pay attention. It's not about the vaccine. It was about they're going to take away your religious rights.
Hang on a second, Jack. Pull up the First Amendment if you could, Spencer. Go ahead, Jack.
Oh, that's just it. We've been telling people for so many years, you're on a slippery slope. Make it stop. Oh no, this is okay. This isn't the mark, so it's okay to take this nasty thing if it's not really the mark. But okay, never mind.
I'm with you, Jack. I'm not going to argue about the mark. Stay right there. I see. Dale wants in there. Hang on just a second. I want to show you something. Pull up for me. It says, what am I looking for here? No, that's not it. Oh, there it is. The Blaze. Pull up the Blaze. Blaze. People send me these kind of things all the time, and I'm glad you do. Thanks for all the information. Federal court rules against coach fired for praying. Now, folks, federal court. The federal court says this coach can't pray. I've been through the same thing, right? This going on all across America. Let's go back to the First Amendment. It's sort of like John 10:10, isn't it? Huh? This is sort of like reading John 10. Congress shall make no law. Courts don't make law, friends. Courts do not make laws. Congress makes laws, and the Constitution says Congress shall make no law. It's like Rochelle makes cookies, and they make a law that says Rochelle shall make no cookies, meaning the one who makes the cookies isn't allowed to make cookies, all right? So Congress shall make no cookies respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. If some football coach wants to come along and pray with his football team, there ain't nothing anybody can do about it. Do you understand this? Do you understand it? It doesn't say that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting coaches from praying because other people may not want to hear the prayer. Doesn't say that, see? Doesn't say that. We've assumed that's what it says. I don't want to hear that. You know what? I don't want to hear any more about homosexuality to my children. I don't want to hear any more about transgenderism to children. I don't want to hear any more about how good Planned Parent is for young girls. I don't want to hear any more of that bull crap. I don't want to hear any more of it, see? So ask yourself this. Why are the federal courts who are what? To guarantee us what? To petition the government for a redress of grievances? Go to a court and a judge read this and say that a guy can't pray. Can somebody explain that to me? But see, this is what we're dealing with. You know why we're dealing with this? Because the same guys in John 10, verse 1, the ones who crawled in through the window, they're not standing up and fighting about. They're not fighting. When I was in London, Ohio in 1997, I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union. Not one pastor called me. Not one. The entire city. Not one pastor called me. He said, Coach, we're with you. I had a pastor call me and try to correct me that I was breaking the law. I had several of those, but they can't read, see? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or Rochelle shall make no cookies regarding Easter, or
prohibiting the right to make other cookies. Can't do it. Can't do it. Yeah, we follow these things like they're laws, like they're rules. They come along and they tell you you have to take a vaccination. Well, that'll all be well and good, but can somebody tell me where? Oh, Franklin Graham says you have to. And Robert Jeffress. And T.D. Jakes. Andy Stanley. And your pastor. Right? Hmm? Come on in, Dale. You've been waiting a long time. Sorry, man.
No, brother, it's not a problem at all, man. You're over the target. And I will say this, the ACLU, I call that the Antichrist Lying Union. Let's call them for what they are. So, but coach, the fact of the matter is, what is this Franklin Graham? You know, there's two parts in ministry that need to be balanced. There is the prophetic, and then there's the mercy ministry.
Amen. Amen.
Mercy ministry, and you are, brother. There's no doubt about it. You were balanced in this. I've been around you long enough. The fact of the matter is that Franklin Graham is unbalanced. All of his accolades and all of his climbing Amen. Up the ladder has all been on mercy ministry.
Amen.
He is not prophetic. He does not call out sin.
Amen.
So everything, that's what he is. And so when he comes out and says that Jesus would take the vaccination, brother, in my heart, there was such a check to say, this one has fallen to the wayside.
Amen.
I mean, fallen to the wayside. Because it doesn't matter where you stand on a vaccination. I'm not going to look at you as a lesser of a person. But when you're going to come out and say, I've saw those T-shirts in Denver, Colorado, when I was there at Flip Venom in 08 with Barack Obama taking a stand, and these people wearing T-shirts that says Jesus was a Democrat. And I looked at him and I rebuked him and I said, Jesus was not a Democrat, nor was he Republican. And those who are on the Republican side need to understand this too. Jesus is not a Republican either.
Amen, brother. We got to get that straight. Hey, Gary Dunlap, come on in, Gary. Then Naomi again.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I just want to say, I really question whether, at this point, whether Franklin Graham, Robert Jeffress, and some of these guys aren't wolves in sheep's clothing now.
Listen, I'm just going to tell you the truth. If you're doing real ministry, you ain't going to be big. You ain't going to be big. Sorry. I offend people every day in here, right? Every day. And you know this, that Franklin Graham and all those guys, they take everything they say through a filter to see whether or not it's said properly and it's going to offend the wrong people. Ain't no filters here. Larry's my filter. That's what I'd say. You guys are my filter. Come on in, Naomi.
Amen to that ministry part, where if you're going to be doing true ministry, you're not going to be big. Back to this medical kidnap. For those who have an ear to hear, that is one of the resources that I go to for wisdom. Those doctors in there are along the lines of Dr. Tenpenny, Dr. Mikovich, and I know families who have been threatened to have their children kidnapped. They don't call it kidnapped, but to have them kidnapped because they don't want to do the conventional route for their children when they're diagnosed with cancer. And it's not only that child that's diagnosed, they will take every sibling that child has. So this website, I am verifying, this is a reputable website with reputable outside the box doctors.
Thank you, Naomi. I respect what you say, dear. Folks, look. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of... Hey, friends, if they tell you put on a mask and you have religious reasons for not doing it, they can't make you do it. If they want to give you a shot and you have medical or religious reasons, that's called free exercise thereof. Do you understand that? Folks, do you understand that? Do you really, really understand that? Or are you going to let some judge rule and say, well, that doesn't apply here? Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting free exercise thereof, unless there's a pandemic declared by your governor. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. Okay, so I'm going to show you a real quick little video here, show you exactly what they've done to us. New math. It's called new math. New math. All right? Now, let's put this thing on about
because I just want to get through it so you get the principle of it, okay? I want to put this on 1.75. How long is this thing? Yeah, it's kind of long. So put it on 1.75, and you will get the point of this is exactly what they're doing to us here in America, okay? This is called the new math. It's 9 minutes, but it won't be that long with the 1.75, okay? Here we go. I'm going to be in Boston on April 17th and 18th. Somebody just put in the chat. Here we go. New math. Can't hear it. Hang on. This is what they're doing to us, folks. This boy comes in. Teacher.
Oh, hi, Daddy. Come on in. Looks like you're having some trouble with addition. Mental P upset. You're here to learn. And we learn from mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes.
Nuh-uh.
Look at this question here. What is 2 plus 2? See, you wrote 22. But when we do addition, we don't just put the numbers next to each other.
That's stupid.
All right, I think about it this way. If I have two markers in this hand, and then I add the two markers from this hand, how many markers do I have now?
22.
No, Danny, it's 4.
Hang on, Spence. Too fast. Put it on 1.5.
He wanted to know where I was.
Put it on 1.5. This is going too fast. Sounds not real good either. 1.5. 1.5. There you go.
12. We're Danny's parents. Oh, yes. Hello. Oh, please come in. Now, don't worry. It is completely normal for kids to get frustrated when they're struggling with a subject.
So what's this about Danny getting some answers wrong on this so-called test of yours?
We had a test. Mm-hmm. One of the questions was, what is 2 plus 2? Danny answered 22.
And
that's not the right answer.
Says who?
Says math.
Are you calling my son stupid?
No, of course not.
Who are you to say that your answer is right and that his is wrong?
No, she's right.
Thank you.
Right out of Nazi Germany.
You can't honestly tell me that you don't know what 2 plus 2 equals.
You got it all figured out, don't you? You smart-ass little tramp. What, are you some kind of retard?
All right, I'm sorry. I am not going to be able to continue this conversation. We're going to complain to the principal about you.
Danny is a free thinker.
I'll have your job, bitch.
Not if you can't add 2 and 2 together, you won't.
Mrs. Wells.
Oh, sorry, Principal, I didn't see you.
I understand you had an issue yesterday with the parents of one of our students.
It did get a little crazy.
When things get out of hand, I really need you to let me know about it.
Sure. So how do you want to handle it?
I guess you could apologize.
What? His mom hit me.
I understand you told Danny he had a wrong answer on his test.
He did have a wrong answer on his test.
Yeah, it's not our job to tell students when they're right and wrong.
That is exactly what our job is.
Parents don't want you ramming your biased views down their kids' throats.
That's not biased. That's how math works.
You know what doesn't work? Your attitude. Look, maybe I can explain this in math terms so you can understand. If you took all the kids in this classroom and divided them by 0, that's exactly the amount of respect you're giving them. Something you'd like to say?
You can't divide a number by 0 and get 0.
So now I'm stupid. Some crazy administrator doing paperwork while you superstar teachers change the world.
Are you going to apologize to the parents?
I didn't even teach teaching. I hate children.
Please have a seat, Mrs. Wells.
Thank you. You know, I honestly think this will all blow over if we just wait a week or so.
I'm afraid we can't do that.
Why not?
They're suing.
For what?
Emotional distress to a minor. Mrs. Wells, can you please tell the members of this board exactly when you became aware of this fiasco and the events leading up to the riot?
Riot? I just told a student that 2 plus 2 equals 4.
We need for you to recant that.
What?
Just say that you're open to the possibility. There might be multiple correct answers.
But that's not true. We can't let them bully us. And this is so stupid.
Stupid. That's your problem. Anyone who disagrees with you is stupid.
There is nothing to disagree with. There is only one correct answer.
For your sake, I certainly hope you have that correct answer when the media gets wind of this.
I do. It's 4.
I have my own answer. This school minus you equals tomorrow.
You're firing me?
Suspending. While you reconsider your extremist views.
You brought this on yourself.
Breaking news.
In what's being called Mathgate, an activist elementary school teacher was caught abusing her students' First Amendment rights. It's an interesting story.
Okay, so this teacher, this liberal elitist, tells this innocent little first grade kid that his answer is wrong. Only her answer is acceptable.
Yeah, but from what I hear, she doesn't even keep these students for more than a year. After that, they all leave her and go to another teacher.
It's called graduating.
So it's creating some good, healthy debate in this country. Some experts say that 2 plus 2 equals 4. Others say that it's 22.
No, they don't!
Look, if you hate America that much, why don't you just go teach in commie France?
Hello.
Hello, Mrs. Wells. The board decided that for everyone's benefit, your services will no longer be required.
For everyone's benefit? How about the kids?
I need you to come by to school tomorrow. We don't need you radicalizing our students anymore.
Mrs. Wells, thank you so much for coming. You know, I'm just so sorry it happened this way. If only you'd been willing to be more open-minded.
About math? What about academic integrity?
You were warned, given an explanation, and yet you persisted. But we will, of course, fulfill our financial obligations. Now, that's $2,000 for your last pay period and $2,000 for this one, so that's $4,000.
Wrong. It's $22,000.
Boy, is that more real than real, huh? And I got to tell you something. In all my time in education, the principals and administration were always like you just saw that guy there. Weenies, 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 right? And even though it's sarcasm, the fact of the matter is we have allowed the same thing to happen with truth. Transgenderism, right? A made-up condition is now you can't even speak out against it, man. Somebody help me wrap this thing up. Because that's where we are. What are we going to do? Michelle.
Hey, good morning. Again, thanks for letting me in again, Coach. Couple weeks ago, you challenged us all, and you haven't had any chocolate, and I haven't had any candy either. And I was reading in Judges, and it was really cool. This hit me really, really good last night. It was Judges 1:19, and it's where the Lord told the people after all these victories, but they had failed to drive out the people living in the plains because they had iron chariots. So long story short, you know, when I read this story, it's like God couldn't drive them out because the people had an excuse. So in this journey you've put us on, we're going to come to a place, it's going to get real specific. And we're going to be like, oh, that's the thing you want me to really do. And we're going to have to decide if we want to hold on to that sin or not.
Amen.
But if you keep, because if the people don't listen to him, and eventually you read the next 12 battles, they lose because they won't listen to him about that one and driving out the iron chariots. So
that's right.
Go ahead.
Cast out those weights and those sins that so easily beset us. Isn't that what it says?
We gotta cast
those off, man.
You've helped me find my iron chariot, and I'm battling it, and thank you. And I know that there's other people who are picking this up too. Absolutely.
Amen. Thanks, Michelle. Come on in. Silver than Craig. Last two of the day.
Okay, real quick. The Lord's been giving me this all night. It's just been crazy, is because I'm one of these people that believe that the United States is Mystery Babylon. So I've been asking this question because it ties to scripture. When, oh Lord, when will it be the second Passover, which is coming up on the 26th and the 27th of this month? Or will it be on Shavuot, which is Pentecost, which is May 22nd, 23rd. And I said, monitoring the destruction of Mystery Babylon. We have to keep focused. I mean, these things in scripture that talk about the return of the Lord. Okay. We don't know that day, or we don't know that hour, that kind of thing, but everything else is fair game. Okay.
Yep.
So just be aware of what's going on.
Amen. Amen. Craig, wrap us up here, Craig.
Okay, Coach. Well, morality through the Bible has markers, and those markers shouldn't be moved.
Uh-huh.
But remember, you had us go to all those boundary stones over Washington, D.C.? Remember
yes,
that?
Sir.
They ain't moved, have they? The only markers that are moving are biblical morality, and that's a sad statement.
Wow. Good point, Craig. They're not moving. We're just ignoring them, right? The markers haven't moved. We're just, in our mind, ignoring those markers, right? We're calling men women and women men and getting away with it. And wow, 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 wow. What a time to be alive, right? Stand up, push back. Not be ashamed of the gospel. Got to run. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Not my precinct, not my country, not my state. You're right, RJ. God bless y'all.